Well, hey, everybody, it's Kevin Stevenson. Thanks for joining me on today's episode of I Don't Care with Dr. Kevin Stevenson. We're going international again, folks. We've had a couple internationals lately, and so we're doing it again. And I want to introduce my friend and colleague all the way from India, Princy Dupar. Princy, I hope I didn't mask your
No,
name.
You pronounced it really well, Kevin.
Okay, good. Well, good. I'm getting better. I'm getting better with my names. But Princy is with a company called DITSTECH. And Princy and I met about a couple of months ago. And she contacted me on LinkedIn and wanted to connect. I don't know why, but I'm glad she did. We met up in Dallas. And Princy, number one, welcome to I Don't Care.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be there.
It's great to have you. And number two, I'm so glad you reached out to me because I think we had so much fun sitting at the Starbucks in Dallas, just learning about what your company does and all of that. So tell my audience a little bit about about you and about DITSTECH. And about all of your travels through the States, because you spent 3 weeks over here.
Well, more than four weeks. I was there for...
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my word. Okay. Well, I want to hear where you went and all of that. But then, you know, let's talk a little bit about your work at DITSTECH. And I know my audience wants to hear about... you know, working with companies that are offshore. So I've given you four or five questions to answer. We've got 30 minutes. Take your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me here. It's altogether a pleasure. And to start with, oh, yes, I'm glad that I reached out to you and we had that conversation. I was not hoping that the conversation would lead us to here, but great, it has led us here. So to your audience, I am Princy Dupar. Kevin pronounced my name greatly though. And I am one of the directors with a company known as DITSTECH Innovations, and I also take care of their global partnerships. What we do, we are a global software development company. We develop custom software solutions for the businesses who do not want to use tech, but tech is their need. And that is why they come up at a point where they are bound to use technology in the best of the way so that they run their operations smoothly and they are cost effective and they utilize their time to the best of their capacity. And to the best, there is less of manual intervention in their day-to-day activities, but at the same time, they are serving their customers to the best of their capability. So that's what we do. I, on the personal side, I have close to 15 years of experience and I have had the opportunity to work with many industries. I started with hospitality, moved to telecom, and then for the last 9 years, I have been working with DITSTECH Innovations. However, my focus area has been sales and marketing and partnerships for all of these 15 years. So that happens to be my forte areas. DITSTECH Innovations is completing its 10th year. So we are running in our 10th year. It's been a decade of working. A company which started with a team of around 5 people has moved now to a team of around 250 plus people. So we are very diversified. Mm-hmm. People ask us, so what's your speciality? What's your forte? And we say that we are jack of all trades. We are diversified. We do not want to reserve ourselves towards just one domain, one technology. No, we don't want to do that. We want to do anything and everything under the roof. Whatsoever is coming in, saying no to the customer is never onto the table. And I believe and I hope that should not be onto the table in the coming years as well. We have been very focused on this mantra that customer is the super god. Oh, yes, customer is the super god. And we like to stay with that. The company starts with D. That's DITS. That's our short form. And we call ourselves quite dynamic because we change with the market. We change with the customer. I think while I'm recalling in one of our conversations as well with you, you mentioned something on our strategies and our agreements and our policies, and I believe that I told you that we are very flexible when it comes to what we are supposed to offer. So the offerings are actually customized. So like we are customizing the solutions for the customers, we are customizing our offerings as well. Because at the end of the day, we want to serve the customer first, make the customer happy, and then move on to the revenue, profits, and everything aside. So this is what we do. Trip to the US, oh, it was great. 4 weeks all in, all out, with all of the wars going in and out. Definitely there was a bit of doubt in the mind of what exactly the travel plan is going to look like, but I'm glad it went great. So March was beautifully done. I in fact wrote in one of my posts as well that March 2026 was great for me as well. So I started my trip from Austin, went to Atlanta, spent a week out there in Atlanta. And Atlanta was all healthcare and it was beautiful. Then I moved to San Francisco, had the opportunity to meet certain people out of transportation and logistics as well, and a few people from the IoT domain. Then I moved to Sunnyvale, met one of the biggest logistics companies out there in. Then my trip was to San Diego and Orange County. So these were the two areas. Therein, San Diego is beautiful, no doubts about that. And San Diego was actually more about meeting people where they want to leverage the technology because they want to run their business smoothly. So all of the people I met out there in San Diego, none of them was an IT company. All of them were running businesses out there from very diversified domains, where definitely there was one main focus that we want to serve our end customers in a better way. Hence, let's use technology and let's use AI. And then I moved to Texas, and Texas, it was Dallas, Houston, and Austin. Dallas was beautiful for me. I had the opportunity to meet you, and then I had the opportunity to meet different business people, but I met a lot many people from the IT companies as well in Texas. So it's not about the competition therein when we are meeting the IT companies, but it's more like what are the expectations when somebody's sitting onshore and when somebody is sitting offshore. And that's where the differentiating factor comes in. So people call us that, oh, you're offshore. Yes, we are offshore, but we have the capability to serve and offer you to the capability of what the onshore companies are doing. So what onshore companies are doing? Onshore companies are providing you the support in your daytimes. Well, we say that we'll provide you the support for minimum 3 to 5 hours. And what onshore companies are saying that they will make sure that your data is secure enough? Oh, yes, we do the same. We keep the servers in your geography so that you're very private. We have been working with the state and the federal governments. And I mean, the projects we have been executing, they are supposed to be utilized by the state and the federal governments. So in any case, the data is secure. That is why we are developing those platforms, right? And it's not a myth out there in the market that if you work with an offshore company, you're supposed to save a lot of money. Yes, that's true. You are supposed to save a lot of money. I do understand, like you mentioned earlier in one of our conversations, that people are still very skeptical of this fact that whether they should go with the offshore companies, how would be their experience, because their previous experience has not been good. But I always ask this question whenever people come and say that our previous experience was just not good working with an offshore company. And I always ask this question that why? I mean, what went wrong? It could be a decision in hurry. It could be that the communication was just not at the right parameters, or maybe the scope was not clear. And none of the parties involved took the advantage of asking, actually. And we do the entirely opposite thing. So we over communicate. So we are just not communicating. We are over communicating. And we are being very transparent. Saying no is fearful. Yes, specifically when it comes to the customer. But I think that from last few years, we are capable now of taking few hard conversations up with the clients as well, because we probably understood right in the time that that's the need.
Okay, very good. So I know you're across all industries, but primarily in healthcare. What type of projects have you taken on in the healthcare space?
We try to complete all of the healthcare ecosystem. So, from EHRs and EMRs, and I'm talking about the custom EHRs and custom EMRs. I'm not talking about the integrations to start with Epic and Cerner. Yes, we do that too, but I'm talking about the custom platforms we have been building. So, EHRs and EMRs for small facilities and small hospitals and clinics for sure. Then we do a lot of telehealth and telemedicine platforms, which are going to serve the virtual cares. We are developing certain platforms for prenatal and postnatal care. Then we do a lot of work actually in the public and the population health as well, wherein we have been developing the platforms which caters to certain state and the federal led programs too. And along with that, we work with the revenue cycle management platforms, and we develop certain remote patient monitoring systems as well. But the remote patient monitoring systems, let's say we have developed five remote patient monitoring systems over the period of time, every remote patient monitoring system is serving a different kind of niche. For example, one of the remote patient monitoring systems we did that only and only focused on post-hospitalization care. Then one of the remote patient monitoring systems we did that started with triage system and moved to post-hospitalization. Another remote patient monitoring system we did that was only and only focusing in the wellness and behavioral and mental care. So it started with the mental care, but then it moved to altogether a big time end-to-end system in the wellness and the mental space. Then we do develop platforms for the healthcare insurance companies as well. And that's one of its own kind, because we are developing that platform in a technology known as RPGLE. And that's IBM AS/400 platform, those green old screens. So we do have a team of that tech as well with us. Along with this, we do a lot of customs systems when it comes to the backend operations of running the facilities, because we know that it's just not only the provider and the patient who are working, but there are a lot many entities at the backend to run those operations smoothly. And I'm sure that nobody could agree to this more than you here, because you have that experience of working with the hospitals and the facilities for last, I guess, 40 years, if I'm not wrong. So
Close,
yeah. So we do a lot of customized systems for them as well. So from chronic care platforms to the platforms which are only considering to the family planning and breast and cervical systems, to the mental wellness and behavioral EHR platforms, we do develop a lot many EHRs and EMRs as well. So this is all. And then we do a lot of integrations. So we are doing Epic, we are doing Cerner, because they cater to the 48% of the market share. There's no doubt about that. But with all of that, we do HL7 integrations. We are developing platforms, HIPAA compliant and HIPAA certified at both sides, based on what the customers are asking us.
Here's a question. With the advent of AI and so many platforms are out there that are giving, lay people like me the opportunity to build websites and systems and all that, talk to me a little bit about, the benefit of working with DITS versus, hey, you know what? I can use AI and I can create my own platform.
I'm glad you asked this, Kevin, because we have been hearing this a lot. And specifically, the newbies out there in the market, they have this charm of utilizing AI and coming up with this own platform utilizing AI. And I'm not condemning AI, and I'm not even saying that the AI cannot do wonders. Oh, yes, AI can do the wonders. But AI can only do the wonders with the manual intervention. AI needs human. So a blend of AI with human will make your product beautifully done, that's for sure. But if you're utilizing only AI to build your platform, it is going to build a skeleton for sure, a beautiful one. But is it going to be scalable enough that it moves from a multilingual, a multi-location, and a microservices-based scalable application? I doubt about that. I mean, how long do you think that AI is going to take the best of the decisions for you? And if it is going, and if you think that AI is taking the best of the decisions, then who is validating that? If you're not a coder yourself, right? When it comes to creating websites, Kevin, utilizing a lot many platforms, Lovable being one of the most utilized ones, websites are good when it comes to utilizing AI because it's quick and it's kind of static, right? And you're not dealing out with people's lives out there. But when it comes to building platforms, we recommend that, and we ourselves also utilize AI. I'm not saying that we don't utilize AI to build the platforms. We have to use that. That's the market need. The very first question now the clients come and ask is that, hey, let us know that how many tools are you utilizing? Are you using Cursor? Are you using Copilot? Or are you using Claude or a lot many are there in the market, right? So the answer to that is yes, we are utilizing all of these platforms. But we are making sure that it is guided by humans. It is instructed by humans. Only then the platform is going to come to the best of the productivity or the best of the scalability we are looking out for, because nobody is going to make the platforms which is going to run in the market for a year or two. Everybody wants to invest the money which is seen in a long period of time, right? Nobody wants that short-term investment. And for that, I totally believe in this. And we have experimented that too with few of our clients, that you go ahead, build a platform with AI if you think that that's one of the best capabilities, or we will do that for you. We will do the platform built with only AI, with no human intervention. And let's see then what comparison between a platform built only with AI and a platform built with a blend of AI and human, and then let's see the difference. And the difference was, let's see.
I can imagine. I've taken, of course, I've taken some online AI classes just to familiarize myself with the platforms outside of ChatGPT and Claude that I use all the time. And what I found fascinating was the ability to utilize, aspects of one platform and another platform and build all of that. And could I do that? Sure, I could do that. But do I want to do that? Absolutely not, because I'm not proficient in, the hundreds of different AI platforms that are out there. I don't know exactly which ones work best together. So I, hey, good for you if you're using AI. And if we're folks know all those platforms great and know how to integrate those, fantastic. I'm more than I would love for you to do that. So that, that was a question I had because, I'm finding that, as I go out and talk to people, everybody is starting to lean so heavily on AI for everything that they do. But you said something that I've heard from everybody that I've said as well. You've got to
Oh,
have a human
yes.
interaction. I told somebody last week at a conference, I said, AI is great. AI has no soul. And AI cannot make, particularly in the healthcare space, they can't make those emotional human decisions that oftentimes have to
Exactly.
be considered in the
I
healthcare
totally agree,
environment.
yeah.
And then the, yeah, and then the same thing as far as the platform goes. I was having breakfast with a physician this morning. We were talking about, utilizing everything. And many physicians, particularly radiologists, are saying AI is going to take my job because, the AI can read the films, they can interpret the films and all that. I said, here's the deal. It will make you
Oh,
more
yes.
efficient because it is faster, but there's still AI still
Oh,
makes
yes.
mistakes. You still have that human decision making, capability to keep AI running.
And you mentioned it very correctly, Kevin. We have built certain platforms wherein we the whole idea of those platforms was that AI will not eliminate the provider, but it will do the basic work for the provider. And the provider will then come in, do the checks and balances, make the edits, because the provider has seen the patient. The AI has not seen the patient, right? The provider has seen the patient. It will make the necessary edits and will send it. So let's imagine that a provider who was able to create a care plan or a wellness plan in, let's say, 30 minutes, now is able to do that in 5 to 7 minutes of time. So it is going to do the labor work. So I say that to my team, that utilize AI as your junior, train AI as your personal assistant, because when you have a personal assistant, you ask your personal assistant to do all of your legwork, right? Because you do not want to spend your time in those labor-intensive works and Excel sheets and Word documents and lengthy documents and all of that, right? So you ask your personal assistant that, hey, please, could you take over this? Because I have something else where I need to spend my time, I need to run my brains on, right? So utilize AI as that, and AI is definitely going to reduce that time effort for you. And when your 1 hour, 30 minutes is going to be reduced to 10 minutes, to 15 minutes, you definitely have sufficient time to spend it on something else. Be it a new skill, be it spending more time with your team training, or if nothing else, probably spend time with your family or earn something more, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, in healthcare, we call it working to the top of your license. I mean, everybody has their capabilities and their licensure that, hey, I can go up to this level. And unfortunately, you know, nurses are the ones who are affected by this the most, because there are so many, I hate to say menial tasks, but there are menial tasks that RNs, you know, a board certified nurse, really, you know, it's like they're wasting their experience on cleaning a room or whatever that somebody else needs to be doing. So, you know, that's why we have, you know, that's why we have techs. That's why we have all those folks. And so if we look at AI as, like you said, that personal assistant that's doing those lower level rote tasks that happen all the time, you know, and that allows us to work at the top of our license, that's going to make us a lot more efficient.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, Kevin, I believe that everything said and done, AI ruling the world as of now, right? AI is not going to sit across the table and ask about you, ask about your family, wish you on your birthdays, and create that emotional quotient factor with you. It is not that EQ thing, right? And that is where we guys come into the picture. I mean, just imagine if AI was speaking instead of me to you in the initial months, we would not have spent that hour and two over a cup of coffee. We would not have learned about each other's backgrounds, jobs, families, cultures, and all of that. And we would not have been able to maintain that EQ factor. So this factor is not going to be replaced by AI no matter what. So AI is definitely going to help, but not in these areas.
So let's go back to, we talked a little bit about folks in the States' trepidation about working offshore. So what kind of safeguards does DITS put into your work from, you know, data protection? Because, you know, in healthcare, we're very data rich. We are very intentional about data security through a wide variety of things, HIPAA, whatever. But let's talk about that. But also talk about how do you vet your employees as well?
People who were working with us in 2017, they are still working with us. How do we vet? Yeah. So we have very simple rules. Whosoever has the hunger for learning is in the company, right? But I'm sure that doesn't suffice as the need of the clients, and that doesn't suffice as the skill sets and the experience needed. So we have around minimum two or five step plan when it comes to vetting the employees. And here, when I'm talking about the employees, it's more like the developers, team leads, tech leads. And on the engineering side, that is what I'm talking about. So minimum two-step to five-step, that may include your basic screenings and everything. That includes your tech rounds. That includes your coding rounds. And if you are very much specifically hiring for a particular domain, or we are specifically hiring for a very particular niche or industry, then we make our interviews very specific and custom and tailor-made for those specific things. But at the end of the day, we do look at the certifications as well if we think that there could be a need at the client side in the coming near future. Then we took a look at the certifications also. But at the same time, coding round, tech round, and the functional round, because the business round, basically, that how are they understanding the businesses of the platforms they have developed so far? Because anybody can code. If you're not understanding the why part, the problem statements of the platforms you have developed, in your past or present, you probably cannot scale with that product. So in order to scale with the product, it is very much necessary for us and for our team to understand the business, the why part, the problem statements, and everything. Then I believe providing a solution is kind of easier. If you're talking about more like the privacy and the data security, very first thing, Kevin, we are very restrictive when it comes to the servers and the accesses. I mean, the servers and the accesses goes as per what client is wanting. If specifically because now everything is on the cloud, so we specifically ask that which region do you want your data to be in. If it is US, and in US they want very specific server access, then it goes there. But then there are certain layers. We have our security and the vulnerability team in-house. That's more likely a complementary team from our side, because we want to make sure that the products we are developing are not vulnerable enough. That's one. Then we do have the role-based access to the platforms. Anybody and everybody cannot access the platform. There is altogether a layer wherein the access is provided very thoughtfully. And then it comes to more likely, because at times customers say that we want to send our own laptops, we want to be it security figured, layered, and we are cool with that. We really do not mind. At times we take our own precautions, irrespective of the server, vulnerability team, security team, etc. We make sure that the IPs are secured enough. So we have multiple static IPs. We restrict IPs for certain clients as well. Then we have certain rooms as well wherein no other team can probably even move inside, because that's a restricted area. So these are very small things wherein we go ahead and use. And then if need be, we go ahead and utilize VPN or secure tunnels as well for the purpose of remote access also. And then we do very prominent audit logs and monitoring systems as well. And that's altogether internal. If the client is not even willing, we do still run that at our side, because we really want to be sure of the security. And we are very strict when it comes to the sharing of data, even with the other team members as well.
Well, I mean that's good for folks to know, because again, there are a lot of there's a lot of hesitancy in working with offshore. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Okay, in our last couple of minutes, closing thoughts, closing words. I'm giving it to you.
To anybody and everybody out there in who have a reservation of utilizing an offshore team, I'm sure those reservations are coming up with your reasons. But when it comes to Didstik Innovations, I'm sure that we have that capability to remove those reservations and remove your inhibitions. Why? Because we are different. Why we are different? Because we don't code on the day one. So we talk a lot, and we talk about understanding more about your business. We talk a lot about that why it all started at the very first place, and why you're thinking to develop certain kind of platform. What solution are you thinking to? What market is going to serve to, and what problem it is going to solve in the world? So we talk on these lines. And once we are very clear out there in our head that, okay, this is why this platform is going to be built, then we put our heart and soul and back and minds in therein, and then we start developing. Because we totally believe that if the very first part of understanding the why part is done clearly, your 40% of the development is already done. Because then in your head, the thoughts are very clear that what exactly is going to be built 2 years apart or 6 months apart, that depends upon what exactly the platform is going to look like, right? Then, like I said, Kevin, we over-communicate. We are very transparent. We like to have the hard conversations. We will not always say yes to anything and everything you bring to us. We will validate it. We will even argue, not to condemn, but to bring the best of the products out there in the market, because we totally believe that whenever a client is spending money, it is very hard-earned money which they are spending in. And we treat that money as our own money. And it is not only me or my folks saying, this thing is actually something which we try and embed in anybody and everybody out there in DITSTECH Innovations. So somebody who is an intern, having just 0 weeks of experience with us, to somebody who is having 20 odd years of experience as well, if they are working in DITSTECH Innovations, this culture is going to be imbibed in them that customer is a super god. If there is customer, so is DITSTECH Innovations. If we want to run smoothly, we have to have the hard conversations, and nobody is going to develop any odd product until you go ahead and ask them the why questions and understand that why that platform is going to be established in the market. That's the differentiating factor of ours. And I believe that we have made certain beautiful case studies out there in the past, and we are doing in the present as well, wherein we have actually changed the entire perspective of the customers. People who had very odd experiences working with the offshore companies, specifically the Indian companies, they have actually gotten into a better experience working with us with just 3 months of experience. So we say that, hey, don't go for long-term contracts in the very first go, because you definitely are skeptical, right? Let's go for a short-term contract. You test us and we test you. If you are happy, we are happy to work with you. If you're not happy, please go ahead and share the feedback with us so that we make ourselves better for the next customer coming in.
That sounds great. Yeah. Okay. Well, Princy Duper with DITSTECH, thank you so much for joining me today on I Don't Care. And audience, thanks to you for joining me today as well. And we will see you next time on I Don't Care with me, Dr. Kevin
Thank you,
Stevenson.
Kevin. Thank you so much.